Never again, heeding the warning signs. That's the theme of the National Days of Remembrance this week long. Congress created the Days of Remembrance as our nation's annual commemoration of the Holocaust and the 6 million Jews who died in the Nazi Holocaust, along with millions of others. It's linked with the Holocaust Remembrance Day that was created 60 years ago by Israeli Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion. Today is Holocaust Remembrance Day, and that turns our thoughts to the ever-shrinking ranks of the survivors, the men and the women who suffered through the years of Nazi domination, who survived the prison camps, or who managed to hide from the Nazis through the war. Hearing their firsthand stories, preserving their stories, and handing them down is one way to fight back against genocide. One such survivor is 91-year-old Miriam Garville of Ann Arbor. She wanted her story preserved. And thanks to my next guest, her story of survival through not one but three Nazi concentration camps has been recorded and put into a book called I Have to Survive, Miriam's Story. Ruth Campbell based her book on oral history recordings that she did with Miriam. And Ruth Campbell is kind enough to join us now from Japan. Welcome to Stateside, Ruth.
Oh, thank you.
So you first encountered Miriam Garville how?
Well, I was a social worker at the University of Michigan Geriatric Center. And Miriam came to talk to me. Miriam and her husband both came to talk to me because her son had a serious health condition, and she needed some advice. And then her son unfortunately died in his 40s. And so after his death, we spent many times talking, and eventually she started talking about her experiences during the Holocaust.
So how did that click in for you to decide to record her oral history of her Holocaust survival story and then turning it into an actual book?
Well, you know, often with people, one death with an older person, one death triggers memories of earlier traumatic experiences, earlier deaths. And it seemed that it might be therapeutic, it might be helpful for Miriam to go over what had happened to her during the war. And so I asked her if she wanted to record her story, and she said yes, she really wanted it to be a book. She wanted people to hear and know what she went through, so that other people would understand what happened and maybe prevent anything like that ever happening again.
So give us an idea of Miriam's life as a girl in Lodz, Poland, before the Nazi occupation.
Well, that was one of my favorite parts of the book. She had a very nice childhood. She had lived in a privileged family. Her mother ran a very nice apartment building, was a manager there, and she was very proud of her mother for being a working woman when many mothers weren't at that time. Her father had a textile factory, and Lodz was a rather prosperous place, and there was a large Jewish community there. She went ice skating. She went out to summer camps. She had a very nice childhood. She loved movies. She went out to the movies all the time and enjoyed her life, had a lot of friends.
And she was one of two children, right? She had a sister?
Yes, she had an older sister.
So when the Germans marched into Poland and the family's life was torn apart, how old was Miriam at the time?
Miriam was 18 when she lost everybody. She and her family first left Lodz. They had to leave and went to another small town in Poland. But soon the Nazis came, and her father was taken to a work camp. And he was later killed. And her mother and sister and Miriam were on a train going to a crematorium. They didn't know it at the time. They thought they were going to a work camp, too.
Yeah.
But the train was packed and awful, and Miriam just felt she couldn't take it. And she said she was going to jump. And her mother said, don't. And she did. She thought she was going to die. But she was saved by people who found her. She went into hiding, and then eventually she went into three concentration camps. And she was the only one in her family to survive. You know, it just struck me, you know, thinking of my children, my grandchildren. My granddaughter was 18 at the time. And I thought, how can an 18-year-old, you know, go through that and just be completely alone all of a sudden after having such a protected and happy childhood?
Her first camp experience was the Puschhof camp, the one that was made famous by the story in the movie Schindler's List, and that's where Camp Commander Ammon Goethe would amuse himself by taking target practice at prisoners and riding around the camp on his horse, just as we saw in Spielberg's film.
Right.
How did Miriam, first of all, survive Puschhof?
Well, she, I think she just survived it by doing what she did in all those places. She said you had to be quick, you had to really keep an open eye, you had really to understand what was going on and get away. She said, if I didn't know what was happening, if I didn't see all over what you're supposed to do in the moment to be able to survive, she said, you have to look all around you and be very observant. And in the beginning, she said, I didn't know if I wanted to survive the war, but this is just human instinct. You do that, you run. So I think she just, you know, wanted to survive and was determined to survive.
I'm speaking with Ruth Campbell, who sat down with Holocaust survivor Miriam Garville of Ann Arbor. She's 91 years old, and she wanted her story preserved. And thanks to Ruth Campbell's efforts, taking an oral history and then taking that history and turning it into a book called I Have to Survive, Miriam's Story. So from Puschhof, she then was transported to Auschwitz. Talk about that experience.
Well, I think Auschwitz, she said, was... it was as bad or worse than Krakow, Plaszow, and Auschwitz. Typically, they'd had the apple plot. You'd be at the apple plots, which was the roll call, and they'd play this beautiful music, opera music, American music. She said beautiful music, and they would be shooting people, and you never knew, you know, who would. You'd stand there and never knew if you would be shot. And meanwhile, you're listening to this beautiful music. But I think what the other thing that impressed me in Auschwitz was how the people in the camps worked together. And she was in the laundry room, and she managed to wash the shirts of some of the prisoners, male prisoners, who went out with the soldiers to work during the day. And then in return, they would smuggle back bread for her so that they would have something to eat. And they all worked together to do these things in order to get... to get enough food to live, because at Auschwitz they got a plate of mustard. She called it the mustard camp because they had this slogan over the door that work makes you free, but she called it mustard makes you free, the mustard camp, because they give you a plate of mustard. And that's all you had, and some watery soup. So there was never enough to eat.
And somehow she did escape the line that would send people to the gas showers and then onto the crematorium. And she not survived Auschwitz, but then on to the third camp, Bergen-Belsen. And she said that was the worst of all?
She said that was absolutely the worst because, well, first of all, they had the long march from Auschwitz to Bergen-Belsen, which many people didn't survive. And at Bergen-Belsen, there was nothing to eat. And she said it was a death camp. It was just she had got typhoid. She and other people just lay under the bunks. It was just impossible there. And she thought that she was going to die then. But British soldiers came in April 15th in 1945 and liberated them. But she could hardly move, and she was transported to Sweden to recuperate.
In fact, she speaks very fondly of her time in Stockholm as she began to recuperate from her experience. And she eventually came to America. How did she wind up in Ann Arbor?
Well, she was living in Paris. She married her husband in Paris, and they lived there. And then they came to New York and lived in New York for many years. But her son, George, was working for General Motors. And so she and her husband decided to move to Ann Arbor to be closer to him.
So I'm interested, as you sat with Miriam Garville and you heard her story and relived these memories with her, Ruth Campbell, what hit you the hardest, particularly as she talked about her life in the camps?
I just couldn't imagine. I'd heard, of course, everyone knows these stories, but hearing it from one person, hearing Miriam talk about being a young girl and what happened and being in the camps and being, you know, having to survive by your wits and never knowing. She said, She was supposed to be burned one day, and then they said, oh, we need young women, so come with us. And she said, that's what happened. You know, they thought they were going to die, and then something would happen, and she somehow survived. It just struck me the cruelty of the whole thing and how it was all planned. It seemed so organized somehow, and that made it even worse. You know, I really felt so much admiration for her, and I felt she was very brave, and she was very lucky to have gone through all that and survived.
And in fact, survived and went on to have, you know, a life as a wife and a mother.
Yes.
And so survived and surpassed. I mean, she conquered it.
Yes, she did. And I think it showed her resilience and her toughness and the fact that she really kept saying to herself, I have to survive, I have to survive. She had heard her father say this in the beginning of this experience, and she just kept repeating what her father said, I have to survive, I have to survive, and she did.
Ruth, what lessons would you like to share with all of us that you learned from working with Miriam? What would you like us to learn from your experience?
I would love people to listen to the stories of older people. I mean, Miriam's was an extreme situation, and in that case, I felt that the more documentation we have, as you said, this generation is dying, the generation who experienced that, or they're older now, they'll be dying. We need to have these eyewitness reports. We need to have this so that people can read it and know that this should never happen again. But for people who had maybe less extreme kinds of experiences than that, I think all older people had lives that are worth listening to, and I would really encourage people to record stories of older people they know, of their family members, of friends. For me, it's always been just such an amazing experience to be invited to listen to people's lives, and I think I hope more people would do that. I think it's not only a wonderful thing for the person talking about their lives, but to us, the people who listen, it's just very important.
Ruth Campbell worked with Holocaust survivor Miriam Garville of Ann Arbor on her memoirs. The book's entitled I Have to Survive, Miriam's Story, and it's available on Amazon.com. And Ruth Campbell spoke to us today from Japan. Thank you so much, Ruth.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
And we should note, America's first freestanding Holocaust Memorial Center is here in Michigan. It's in Farmington Hills in Oakland County. Holocaust survivors meet and speak with visitors. There are powerful exhibits and many, many recorded histories. Visitors and school groups are more than welcome, and you can find out more at holocaustcenter.org.